Welcome to Business Success Radio. My name is Anthony Turner, and I'm going to be your host as we chat to everyday small business people about their journeys, their challenges, and hopefully gain some tips about how we can all make our businesses better. Okay, today my guest on Business Success Radio podcast is Louise Calloway. Louise is an author and an author in a specialist area of helping people get better in their own lives and understand their lives and therefore make positive changes in their lives. So Louise, welcome to Business Success Radio.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Louise, tell us, you know, for the benefit of our audience and the listeners and me and everything else, a little bit about, you know, your background and how you came to be an author.
Well, it's a fairly long-winded story, so I'll cut it short. I was curious as a teenager, working full-time at 16 and paying my way, while mum and dad wouldn't allow me to make simple decisions of my own. And I started to wonder why, as a little kid doing things all by myself, I was applauded. But a decade or so later, as a teenager, any attempt at forging my own independence was seen as rebellion. So that's kind of started the big question mark. How does this work? And why is it that time doesn't seem to change anything with parental thinking? So that's where it all started. And it was a continuing journey. And it took me, I was about 28, and my husband and I were thinking about starting our family. And the giant question mark appeared about life processes and the programming, obviously, that we're put into. So my question was, where are the origins of these programs? How far do they go back? What was the power behind them? And what do I need to do to liberate them so that I'm not repeating generational cycles that I've been taught throughout my life, so I don't impact that on my children?
Okay, so that's a really interesting thought process within there, and a lot of people may not have taken the time to even consider, you know, how has my childhood impacted and continue to impact the way that I think and the way that I behave in how I run my life.
Yes, very much.
So having read your book, your latest book, Defiance, Secrets of Your Midlife Crisis, I note that within that you discuss quite openly how these childhood patterns can actually impact your adult life and therefore impact you, you know, in business and or, you know, in life generally. So yes. Tell me a little bit about your life and your background. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, you were working independently or trying to get your independence. And then, you know, when you came to family and thinking about how you're going to raise your family, were you sort of typical of a lot of women at that time who sort of dropped out of the workforce and looked after family?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so then at some point you've made a decision to get back into the workforce or into business for yourself as an author.
That didn't happen for a long time. But while I was home with my kids, it was a terrific time, really, because I got to understand the way they think, or lack of thinking, how they're very intuitive, how they're very quick to copy you. They copy everything you do. And because they're instinctual, they take on things like your facial expressions, and they read things into that. They know when you're angry with them. They know when you're happy with them. And they copy, so you can imagine hardcore behaviours that are perpetuated throughout generational cycles. They are actually something that's more felt and observed than it is a learnt something. It's very, kids are very intuitive. And I just need to say, in my research, we always say the inner child is ridiculous and we kind of dismiss it as something that's mystical and magical and couldn't possibly exist. But that's where the truth is. We do have an inner child, and that child is between birth and 7 years old. And what it does, it formulates a belief system about in the first 7 years of its life, before our intellectual brain came in, and it puts together a set of beliefs about what it believes it is and its potential and how life is supposed to be. So those, just those few things can really upset us as we get older if we're still clinging to that belief system, which we do until about midlife crisis time, when we start to feel very locked in to these tribal beliefs and generational need for acceptance. And this is where conformity starts to really impact on our maturing life, when we have needs well above our childhood model and our inner child's beliefs. And this is where our maturing adults, often seen as, you know, going out there and buying a Mustang, and and they're seen as, oh, hoons or whatever it is, which is really amusing. But all they're doing is they're allowing their emotional independence to come through. They're not allowing conformity from childhood and their teenage acceptance years, their generation, to impact them any longer. So we should actually take our hat off to them and applaud them.
It's an interesting thought, and it's something that I touch on when I'm doing business skills training. And I often say to the people in the programs that I run, would you let a, you know, a 5 or a 6 or a 7 year old run your business? And they sort of like, no, I wouldn't do that. And, you know, I sort of challenge them on the basis, well, actually you do.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's that 5, 6, 7 year old. And I've done a lot of personal development work, so I get an understanding of what you're talking about. it's that inner child, as it's commonly called, that is actually the that part of us that is looking to keep us safe. It is looking, it's judging based on what it can see, because it's got no frameworks at that age.
Yes.
To be able to distinguish, or to, you know, to maturely look at things and say there are nuances within something. It's sort of like a black and white experience as distinct many shades of grey, is the way that,
yes,
I describe it. So, you know, oftentimes a business owner, and many of our listeners will be in this position, of that, you know, those instinctual things like anger responses and frustrations or whatever it might be come to the surface, and they wonder, yes, why. And it seems quite normal when we're sort of in our, you know, in our adulthood, but reality is that it's that scared little boy or that scared little girl inside who's sort of saying, oh, I don't feel safe. Is that a sort of a fair assumption of what, you know, you're talking about?
Definitely. And you know where I had to go back to, I couldn't find anything on this, the origins of how we continue to repeat generational cycles. And it was really worrying me. Aristotle, we all remember his quote, give me a child until he is 7 and I will show you the man.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came across that yet again, my mind started thinking, well, if he recognised that we are a mirror image of our childhood beliefs as adults, then where did this come from? So I went right back to primitive times where we were programmed to survive. So we had fear and subconscious responses so that we could get out of harm's way very, very quickly and stay safe. When we lived in a very hostile environment, you can imagine, and a much shorter lifespan. So nothing has impacted those programs. We still have our instincts. We still have everything that was ever put into our systems. Is still running, but it's silent. So what I've done is I've brought the dark ages, really, and all the primate survival programming into 21st century, so we can relate to that and we can move forward and evolve. it's fascinating to me.
Look, it's a fascinating and a very, very deep subject. But I guess, you know, in terms of, you know, you developing your business, you know, how did some of these things play out for you? You mentioned that you typically, like a lot of family people, you know, had a break when you had children, looking after and nurturing those, and, you know, good on you for doing that. And then you come back into sort of this workspace again. And I guess, you know, you found, you know, that inner child, those fears about, you know, being out vulnerable and, you know, in the workspace, which is a lot of our listeners can relate to. You know, we all feel, you know, when we have to get out there marketing or talking about ourselves and things like that, you know, there is natural hesitancies there. But sometimes it's that fear of exposure and other things which at a deeper level are going on that probably we don't realize.
Definitely. And fear is a major, major component of what holds us back. And also the subconscious responses from our belief system as children, isn't the image we have of ourselves isn't on par with who we are today. So if we haven't updated that image, we're still thinking of ourselves as a helpless, powerless little child who is not very good at anything. We're not enough. That's one of the things we bring with us. We're not educated enough. We're not beautiful enough, no, we're not friendly enough, whatever it is we learnt in childhood, we bring through. So once you understand that every single attitude that you have and every subconscious response, and it's automatic and it's really quick because it was meant to save us in primitive times, we have to step back and just say, what was that? No, and we have to actually look at it in current time and dissect it to be what it is today rather than what our childhood belief is about us. So I had a lot of trouble in the beginning, but once I understood those concepts, it made it a lot easier to understand why I had such a knee-jerk reaction when I was put into situations that I didn't think I could handle. But actually, you can handle them. You know, when you really do, well, you mentioned grey areas. We're brought up in a black or white world. Yes or no, can or can't, right or wrong. So the idea of actually going grey and negotiating or conciliating really frightens us.
Yeah, very interesting. And I guess the thing that I'm very aware of is that it's sort of like, you know, emotional intelligence in one way. Emotional intelligence, when, you know, we read about that, typically looks about having emotional intelligence about others. But realistically, what I'm hearing you talking about is having emotional intelligence about ourselves.
Yes.
And I think, you know, if we can develop that sort of emotional intelligence of self and how we respond and why we respond to things and what are the triggers for us, that's really is a huge opportunity for us to, you know, come into our full power as individuals, as business people, and then get the rewards that, you know, typically are available to us if we do that.
Yes. Well, emotional independence is not in the first two stages of our development. Our childhood development did not contain any emotional independence. In fact, the opposite. We were very dependent emotionally, physically, on our parents to keep us alive. So that need to belong is very powerful in childhood. And then when we progress into stage two, I call it stage two, which is our teenage years, we swap alliances from tribal family needing to belong for survival into emotional acceptance by our generation. And that is so important for teenagers, and because it establishes that you're a little bit of independence from the tribe, and that you're moving forward and you're developing. But once again, emotional attachment to our generation is extremely strong, and we bring that into our midlife as well. So I'll put this in an interesting way. we can't be emotionally independent and fit in with group, tribal family or generation group expectation. It doesn't sit well because we're actually defying what we've learned and our dependence on them. So it's once you understand the basics of it, it's quite clear how we're held back. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I think, you know, there is a line there in terms of naturally for everybody there are certainly things like laws of the land and social norms and stuff like that, that and respect and, you know, caring for other people and stuff like that, that I would naturally say are things that, you know, we want to uphold and, you know, to be respectful, supportive of other people and things like that. But there's a difference about supporting and being under the thumb of or under the direction of and stuff like that. So it's, you know, I think, you know, what I've learned from my own personal development work is that to be self-actualized, you have to be able to take things like rejection and, you know, ridicule and those sorts of things on the chin because, and I mean literally in the sense of they can be very hurtful, particularly if we're sensitive and we're fearful and or wanting to fit in still. But once we realize that, you know, we are self-sufficient in who we are or can be, and we build up resilience to those external hurts, you know, whether that's, you know, bullying or whatever it might be, then we can actually start to really say, no, this is what suits me, and we can go in our own direction, but to do that within the confines of what's legal and all of those other things, to so as it's appropriate.
Yes. What I found is, coming from the inner child's belief system, we don't like ourselves very much. So we're on the back foot. We're powerless, we're dependent, we're financially dependent, of course. We rely on other people. The thing is, as we get older, we need to let go of those ties and realize that we are a single and separate entity that needs to expand in line with our evolving nature. But also, one of the big things for me was to feel okay about myself. Mm. That was huge for me because I had always lived under the shadow of needing to belong and needing to be accepted and needing to fit in. And as I grew older, and started to like myself a little bit more because I was extending some of those boundaries. I did it very slowly, I have to tell you. It wasn't an overnight thing. But I started to push it for my personal interest and expand those once fearful boundaries. I was still fearful. And something else I'll just pop in here too. We will always get a fearful response when we're moving forward, because we're actually upsetting our inner child's safe haven. It created a safe haven to keep itself in its comfort zone. So when we're starting to push the boundaries, we're actually interfering with that safe haven as we expand our perimeters. And you will always get a fearful response. And that response is not your response. That's your inner child's response. That's huge. Once you understand that, it really does open the pathway.
Yeah, and that's certainly the personal level. But also the thing that I notice is that when you're trying to make change, you know, whether that's in a business or whether that's in your life or a club or association that you belong to, you've got all of those people that are trying to shout you down because, you know, they're fearful of the change. And it's that same sort of pattern that we can see externally that is actually going on internally.
Yes. Well, change, of course, doesn't happen in a child's mind. Everything it's learning will be forever.
Yeah.
It'll never change. Everything. It's never been taught about time. Are we there yet? That's a perfect question.
Yep.
And so this business of change as we get older is very scary. Again, that goes back to the perception we had about things always staying the same. So when we come across one of our beliefs and it's not working out the way we thought it would, what is happening currently isn't what we expected would happen, we feel ripped off and shortchanged and we get angry about it. How does this happen? I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Why isn't it working out the way I know it should be? But those shoulds and supposed tos really impact us as evolving adults.
Yeah, I guess it's, the way that I tend to explain it to people is that, you know, if you don't have expectations, you can't be disappointed.
That's true too.
So, Louise, as somebody who's, you know, developed now a business of being an author, what would you say would be, you know, and I'm sure lots of other people have been told that they should be writing books and doing things. What would you give as a couple of business type tips to our audience about, you know, how they might be able to succeed as an author, and or challenges that they might face?
Oh, that's a big question, isn't it?
It is.
There are a lot of potholes in the publishing industry. I think you have to go on your gut a lot. I'm not sure how to answer this. I think if you love what you're doing and you are a writer at heart, you'll find a way through the publishing market. And I what I'd really like to caution you about, it's not road to riches. You know, we're often told your first book will take off, you know, it's so good for people. It takes years. It's not an overnight thing. And just be very careful, because there's a lot of money that goes into publishing a book, and then you've got printing costs on top. Now, if you have a distributor, and almost every bookseller today insists that you have a distributor before they'll even consider taking it on their shelves in their bookshop, you're looking at maybe a 10% return after costs. None of this 100% or 80%, it's nothing like that. So I'm just giving you the heads up that it's a difficult market. Everyone thinks they're an author, I must say, and that's fine too. But it takes a lot of tenacity and sheer persistence. Honestly, the determination that goes with a belief that you have that your books are well worth the time and energy and effort and the financial side of it to get it out there. Then you've got the marketing to do as well. So it is, it's a big industry and it's a big ask of people to do the whole thing.
It sounds like a lot like most other businesses, you know.
Yes, yeah, it's, I think
so. The overnight successes typically have had about a 10 or 15 year training period by the time they actually get to their overnight success.
I've
done a lot of hard works and they've done a lot of you know, fear of their letterbox. How am I going to pay the bills and all of those sort of things? Louise Calloway, thank you very much for being our guest today on Business Success Radio Podcast.
And thank you, Anthony. It's been a wonderful opportunity. I didn't know what I was in for, but I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Business Success Radio Podcast. If you'd like to hear more episodes, simply check Biz Success Radio on your current podcast player or visit us on our website, businesssuccessradio.com.au.